Thank you, sir. I don't know what that is. Oh, it's a recorder. Okay. I'm not a techie. I am not a techie. Lord help me. It's a real privilege for me to be here. This is awesome. God bless you all for coming. Thank you. And I know we're supposed to go to church, but I'm glad you're here. Amen. Where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to go to church? By the way, I love teaching. So if I ask you a question, you can answer it. Okay? And I teach at Transformation Life Center. And I absolutely love it. I teach trades, that is carpentry, electrical, plumbing, all that kind of stuff. And I teach the Bible. And I used to be a drug addict myself 49 years ago. But God delivered me. And you can ask my wife if I'm behaving. And she says so. Yeah, so it's still true and it's still good. And it's awesome to be here. It is just so awesome. I'd like to share something with you today. It's the book of Ephesians. Yeah. And I want to give you an overview of the book of Ephesians. And it's an overview of the book of Ephesians that a man named Watchman Nee. Have you ever heard of Watchman Nee? Watchman Nee was a Christian in the 40s in China. And a great Christian and evangelist there. And so they did not like him. And they imprisoned him for 19 years. And he did a lot of study of the Bible in prison, and it was awful, awful conditions. But his study in Ephesians has been with me ever since I've heard it. And there are three words that describe the book of Ephesians. And they are these words. Sit, walk, and stand. That describes the whole book of Ephesians. Am I still on? Can you still hear me? Okay, good. And we'll look at it, and you'll see those words in the book of Ephesians. At the end of Ephesians. And this is probably the most well-known. Matter of fact, Bible verse. Who can tell me a book out of a Bible verse out of Ephesians? By the way, I hope this is not uncommon for you. Tell me a verse out of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, this idea of sitting, walking, and standing is the whole book of Ephesians. And we'll look at that real quick, or quickly. There's one book in the book of, and I know you've been studying Revelation because I've talked to Pastor Tony. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, it talks about the seven different churches. One of those churches is the book of Ephesians, right? The church at Ephesus. So we literally have a commentary in the book of in the book of Revelation on Ephesians. Where was Ephesus in the world? It was in the Aegean Sea, and it was opposite. You had Corinth on the west. You had Ephesus on the east. They were one of the biggest trade routes of the whole world at that time. Corinth, everything passed through Corinth. I don't know if you know the history of Corinth. It's an awesome study by itself. The whole world went through that one gate of Corinth. And the way to get there was Ephesus. It was the biggest, probably, they say about 500,000 people in Ephesus at that time. When Paul started a church there, and he brought the gospel. Oh, by the way, hold on. I'm going to pray. I forgot. Father, thank you, Lord, so much. I ask, dear Lord, that you would bless your word and bless this time, Lord. You know, I'm just a little bit nervous, Lord, to bring what you have given to me in my heart and in my mind to your people. So fill me now and help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Paul started a church in Ephesus, and Ephesus was probably one of the most ungodly places in the world. It was alongside of Corinth. If you ever called somebody a bad name in those days, you'd call them a Corinthian. Or you would, worse than that, you would call them a Cretan, which was just below Corinth. Ephesus was also a very, very secular, ungodly place. One of the greatest monuments in the world was to this, one of the seven wonders of the world at that time was this statue to this goddess Diana. It was just an ungodly place. How can you start a church in an ungodly place? He brought the gospel, the good news. People that had no connection. There were some Jews there that got saved, but there were many Gentiles there that got saved. And it was just an awesome thing, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and the church actually became, from what the historians say, about 60,000 people. And I don't think it was all in one big section, different home churches going on, but 60,000 people. So we'll learn this little bit about sit, walk, and stand, and then we'll look at the commentary in Revelation and see what Jesus said about the church, because it's very important. You would think that a church of 60,000 would be thriving, would be awesome, and by the way, they were. We'll get to Revelation in just a little bit, because His introduction, if you ever look at those churches in Revelation, his introduction to the church and his conclusion to the church is very significant. And he said there in Revelation chapter 2, as he spoke about Ephesus, he said, I'm the one that holds the seven stars. I'm the one that holds the seven lampstands. And he's talking about the seven churches is what he described himself, and he said that that's what he's talking about. He said, please listen to me. Otherwise, I'll take away your lampstand out of this place. He's not talking about taking away their salvation. He's talking about their influence in that area. And we will look at it. Praise God. And you pray for me that the Lord will help me describe this so it's, there's so many thoughts going on in my mind. It's such a cool story that I can break this down and make it simple. So in Ephesians chapter 1, we have this idea of sit. What happens when you're sitting? Are you resting? The answer is yes. The idea is when you're sitting, you're resting. You've had that expression before. Come in, sit down, take a load off, right? It's time for you to rest, right? This is what we have in Christ. The first 14 verses in the book of Ephesus has to do with everything that is done for us in Christ. And you'll notice everything has like an ED ending on it. This is finished. Everything that is done for us in Christ. And if you will look at verse 13, he's talking about Christ here, Ephesians 1 and verse 13, in whom you trusted when you heard the word of truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, the Bible says you were seated, or you were sealed. I'm sorry. I didn't see that well. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sorry, I'm in the wrong verse here. Look at verse 20, please. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him, or set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is the first place the word to seat or to set down is used here. And it's talking about Christ. Christ's work was done. When he died on the cross, what did he say? What's the last words that he said? It is finished. And now Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. His work is finished. Now look at chapter 2 and verse 6. Chapter 2 and verse 6 says this, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. If you are in Christ, the Bible says here that he has raised us up with Christ and made us to sit down with Christ in heavenly places. This is a finished thing that has happened. What did Jesus say? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest unto your soul. When we come to Christ, the very first thing we find or that we need is rest. I also think of another illustration in the Bible in the book of Genesis. When did God create man? On what day? Man was created on the sixth day. What did God do on the seventh? He rested. Did he need our help? No. When we come to Christ, we come into this place of rest. Do you know any Christians that are still anxious about their life, that have not found rest? Do you know any Christians that haven't learned to trust in Christ and to be at ease, to be at peace? I see it quite often. Sometimes we think that our performance is what God is pleased with. It is not our performance. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God is pleased, well pleased. And we become, the Bible says, we become the righteousness of God in Him. That's the most amazing thing. All of my sins are forgiven. I can rest in Him. Do you know any Christians that do not know this? I see it all the time. They're trying to perform so God will accept them. Such a sad thing. By the way, it works this way with a little child. What is a little child even think? All he knows is that he is accepted. All he knows is that he's held. All he knows is he is taken care of. This is our life as Christ, as a Christian. This is the beginning of our life, to find this rest. The second part of our life, look at chapter 2 and verse 2. He's talking about in our past life, it says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. Look again in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, whom God hath beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. Look at chapter 4, please. Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation that which with which you were called. Chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Chapter 5, verse 2. And actually, I'll read first 1 and 2. Chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And then in the whole chapter 5 talks about that walk of obedience. So the order is this: rest in Christ first. Find your peace in Christ first. Then start walking out your Christian life. And by the way, you'll find in chapter 4 that that walk is kind of messy. When I first started to walk as a young man, and by the way, I started to walk at 9 months, according to my mother, who tried to give me to my grandmother, but my grandmother would not take me. I was a little terror. I don't understand that. But when a child begins to walk, what do you do? And when they fall, what happens? Do you encourage them or discourage them? You encourage them. That's wonderful. You took one step, right? And as they begin to walk, then they become a little bit more responsible. I remember at 10 years old, and I was in my church clothes, and it was the Easter celebration. And I was told not to play in my church clothes. Guess who played in his church clothes? Guess who got the grass stains? Guess who? I was not encouraged when I fell that time. Not at all. I was corrected, to say the least. So as you begin this walk, the only way to learn how to walk out our Christian life is to have the confidence and the rest we have in God first. We are His and nothing can change that. He remains faithful. Even when we fall, He's there to pick us back up. As we begin to walk, we become more responsible. As you learn how to walk out this Christian life in chapters 4 and 5, then we can actually stand. In chapter 6, we learn how to stand and fight the devil. Now, what would happen if you got this order out of order? If you think that rest comes last, what comes first? You're walking this out. What happens if you think that you need to stand up and fight the devil first? We need to learn how to sit, walk, and stand. Rest in the Lord. Walk out your Christian life. You need to know that God loves you, and that will never, ever change. But you need to know now He wants you to start walking this thing out. And by the way, as you deal with those who become Christians out there, the ones that you will lead to the Lord, we need to have some patience with them. Amen. I love chapter 4. I'll just touch on a few little things there in chapter 4, talking about the Christian walk. By the way, there are three perspectives. How many of you love art? I love art. How many of you actually draw and paint? Praise God. Have you ever heard of three perspectives in a drawing? Three perspectives. If you ever look down a long railroad track and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller as it goes down, that's one perspective. But if you stand in the middle and look in both directions, it gets smaller on that way and smaller on that way. But if you're looking from up above, that's the third perspective, right? I should have died and went to hell. That is the truth. That's one perspective. I actually am going to heaven. That's another perspective. In chapters 1 and 2, it says, in God's sight, I am already there. That's that rest that we have in the Lord. You've got to know that it is finished. God loves you. God accepts you. Matter of fact, He says He has made us accepted in the beloved. If that's not there, this Christian walk becomes hard. Absolutely. As you walk out this walk, chapter 5 talks about the idea of walking in obedience. And it talks about wives be subject to the husbands, which means just be in order. Doesn't mean being subjected, pushed down. Just means be in order. Husbands, love your wives. Children, do this. It's a walk of obedience. We learn this walk of obedience. Then we stand up and we are able to actually fight the devil and win. The Bible says that very clearly. The armor of God, God wants to give you. Matter of fact, He has given it to us. Do we employ it? I'll touch on one little verse in Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll go to Revelation, and I'll tie this thing together, I hope. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many of you like to use tools? I love to use tools. There's a new Bible app out there. It's called the Blue Letter Bible app. And the reason I say that is this. That verse right there is incredible if you look at it in the original text, in the original Greek. And you can look at it, and it's not hard with that little... I'm not here to sell you anything, by the way. It's a free app. Get it, look at it, and open it up and start pushing buttons, and you'll figure out how to use it. Okay? That's all the techie stuff I know. But right here, I've learned how to use it. Now, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When it says be strong, you think, guess what? You think that's your job. But it says be strong what? In the Lord. And in the power of His might. Not our own might. Right? As I looked it up, this word be strong is en dunamato. En is the word in. Dunamis is where we get power, or we get the word dynamite from. And dunamao, empowered. Be empowered. That makes a little bit of a difference. If I have to be strong, it's not easy. Because I can get tired. If I need to be empowered, who's empowering me? The Lord is empowering me. In the Lord, in the power of His might. I used to think it was me that had to be strong. As I get older, it's not that easy anymore. Sorry. But I can allow God to strengthen me. And it's interesting, the Bible actually says that. It says, though the outer man is getting older, it says the inner man is doing what? Being renewed day by day. So, there's a part of me that's actually getting stronger, which is a blessing. Learn how to rest in the Lord. Walk out your Christian life with confidence, okay? Confidence that He loves you, that's not going to change. Then we learn how to stand and fight the devil. Now, with all of these things, the church at Ephesus had grown to 60,000 people. Now, let's go to the commentary in the book of Revelation. I want you to think about yourself in this same situation. I put yourself in the story, right? We have to. If we want to hear God speak to us, we put ourselves in the story. Revelation chapter 2. This is the only place where I love commentaries on the Bible, but if you could have a commentary by Jesus, that would be awesome. And here's the only place that I know of where you have a commentary on a book of the Bible by Jesus Himself. Very small. Listen to what it says. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works. I'm going to back up just a minute to Ephesus, to Ephesians. In Ephesians it says, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, you remember it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The next verse says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works. For we are His workmanship. That word workmanship is very interesting. It's the word poema, which we get the word poem from. He is the author of your story. He is the author of something beautiful that He wants to do in your life. He's the one that's created us for good works. Now listen to what it says right here. He said, I know your works. Was the church at Ephesus a good church? Incredible church. 60,000 people doing the right thing. Let's listen to what he says. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And how you cannot endure, and how you cannot bear with them that are evil. And you have tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. And you have borne and has patience, and for my name's sake you have labored and you've not fainted. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. because thou hast left thy first love. So, I don't quite understand how a church that is that big and that thriving could be at this place, except for the idea that doing the right thing became the right thing. Doing the right thing became the right thing instead of, it's kind of like the Mary and Martha story. Are y'all familiar with Mary and Martha that were, Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus, and Martha was doing what? She was doing what my wife does. Serving the tables and telling me I need to get up there and get to work and help her, right? I'm glad she's not here this morning. By the way, I took a picture of the choir because my wife absolutely loves choirs. I'm so sorry she couldn't be with us this morning. This, you've left your first love, is the idea of how can such a thriving church, listen to this thing again in chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear with those that are evil. It sounds like a lot of work going on here. It sounds like a lot of activity. It sounds like a lot of diligence. What was the Lord after? We're created for good works, absolutely. In that one statement that he said in Ephesians chapter 2, or is it Ephesians 2? Yeah. He said, for we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works. We are actually God's poem that he's written that he wants us to go out and work from a storyline. We need to be able both to work hard at what we're doing, but to love him at the same time without getting caught up in the work. The relationship is what God is looking for more than anything else. We are his book that he's written, prose that he's written, poem that he's written. We are to enjoy him right in the middle of the work we have to do. And that's just so hard because it's just so easy to do all the do's and don'ts about the whole Christian life. When Jesus in the book of John and verse 7 and chapter 17 said this, he said that the whole world would know that you are Christians. How? By your love for one another. So, my encouragement for you today is that as you do the work of God, don't let that overwhelm you. As you do the work of God, remember your rest in him. Don't worry about your walk. Your walk, he's going to help you walk it out. He will. We're learning a lot of stuff as we walk. Learn how to stand up and fight the devil. In all of that, don't lose your love for the Lord. And I'll read the rest of this and we'll close. Chapter 2 of Revelation. I know your works and your labor and your patience and how that you cannot bear with those who are evil. And that you've tried them that say that they're apostles and they're not. And you've found them liars. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you are fallen, and repent and do your first works. When you became a Christian, what was your first works? When you got saved, what was your first works? I remember mine. I couldn't wait to tell the whole world. I thought the whole world was going to get saved. Because now I understood it, and I thought if they just understood it, if they just would understand what it is that I had, they would know. And I went after them with zeal. We cannot lose this first love. We cannot. And it's weird that he refers back to works again. Our first works were works of love. Don't let the works of love turn into works that we duty. If you look at commentaries on Ephesians, it talks about doctrine and duty. Even in the best commentaries I've looked at, doctrine and duty. And guess what that added up to? Right here in Revelation chapter 2. Don't let duty, which is a good thing, become a thing that takes you away from the love of the Lord. Amen. And I'll just close with this. There's one thing that he actually commended the church for. He said, one thing he said that you do have is that you hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he commented and he said, you're doing really good with that. I wonder why he said that. Do you think that the Lord put anything in there just by accident? One thing they had in common, one thing that the Lord and his people were together with was a common goal, that they hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And as far as I know, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans was someone who would, it was a whole different dress that they had, a whole different, it was a kind of a hierarchy in the church. Just as there was a hierarchy in the Hebrew culture. Now, why was it that God would comment to them and commend them for this? They were together in one place. They had a relationship with God in one place. That they hated the evil. What did God say about, and I'll close this last verse here. What did God say about Job? Who was Job? And God said, have you ever seen anybody like him? That's right. A righteous man and blameless man. He loves the good and he hates the evil. As we go out against this world and all the bad stuff that's in it, we're with God there. But let's also go out and love this world with the love of Christ also. Not forget that love that we have for him. So I know that you'll study this and check it out. This is what the Lord would have you hear today. As we strive together and work for the Lord, don't forget that you are God's poem. Don't forget that love story that you are in the midst of all that's going on around here. And may the world truly see your love for him and your love for the world. Praise God. So let's pray. Father, I bless your name and I thank you, Lord, for every person here today. I thank you, Lord, that you remain faithful. I thank you, Lord, that you desire more of a relationship with us than even our striving against sin. Even though that'll come. Even though we're witnesses to the world. Help the world to see it and recognize, Lord, what you're doing by our love for them and for you. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your time. And I hope that made sense. Come on. Are you on? Come on now.
Well, we want to thank Dr. Bob Ivins for Mr. Bob Ivins for being with us today. And as we close the service, we'll open up to hymn 17. One verse. Have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, it has been good to be in your house,
yes,
to hear your word preached. Lord, we ask that you bring each one of us home safely today, Lord, and we ask for our pastor to come back,
yes,
safe. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.